Exodus chapter 21. We're going to talk today about the worth of Jesus Christ. Israel, Judas, and you. It's essential that I read at least from three portions, so keep them in mind as we read them. Exodus 21, first of all, verse 32. But the ox bore a manservant or a maid servant. There shall be given unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So if a slave, male or female, is gored by an ox, then for recompense, their owner is to be given 30 pieces of silver, 30 shekels of silver. Now, Zechariah chapter 11. All of this will have to be abbreviated, and I can only tell you a little bit about each portion, but I want us to see some connection. Zechariah chapter 11, look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of slaughter. Verse 6. I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the man, every one, unto his neighbor. Verse 7. So I fed the flock of slaughter. Verily the poor of the flock. Look at verse 11. And it was broken in that day, and the poor of the flock that gave heed unto me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my hire, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my hire 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, the goodly price that I was prized at by them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them unto the potter in the house of the Lord. And now, Matthew 27, where this is commented on. Matthew 27, verse 3. You will find that in chapter 26, Judas has already been to the authorities, and he says, what are you willing to give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they weighed unto him 30 pieces of silver. Verse 3. Then Judas, who betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and officers, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver into the temple and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was priced, whom certain of the children of Israel did price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, how mysterious is thy word. How profound to think that there is a God who so seldom makes himself known in evident manners as he did of old, to tell us the end from the beginning. We stand amazed, our God, as we see these scriptures, and we confess that apart from thy Spirit expounding them unto us, we could never have conceived the details of them. We thank you, Father, for the impartation of these secret things, and yet to thee they were plain, and to your prophets, the servants, thou hast expounded them, and they in turn have expounded them to us. Thou hast told us in thy word, the ones who first heard the word of the Lord and delivered them unto you. We are thankful, our God, that thou hast given us the testimony of these eyewitnesses, and we desire to understand as much as we are able the significance of these portions that we have read from thy word. So help us to that end, we pray, our God. For the measure of health and strength, for the desire, whatever reason, to be here, and for the opportunity to read thy word and have it hidden in our hearts, we give thee thanks. So by thy Spirit, our God, bring this to pass. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as you have promised. As we ask these things, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There are so many things that are difficult, except the historical occurrence that we read about. We read about Judas in John 6 being detected long before any of the disciples ever knew anything about it, about being a thief, about being one who put his hand in the bag. You see, he was the treasurer, and would steal, he would take out what would not be noticed by the Lord or the disciples, as far as he knew. The Lord told us long before that he was a thief. I tell you that because there are some who would justify Judas and say that all that he did was well-meaning. He was not a bad man. The Bible tells us in John 6 that he was a thief and that he was one like unto Satan, his father. In the closest terms, he is described like unto Satan. So there is no doubt as to the nature of this man. I discover this, that among those that are in the highest positions, the most prominent places in Christendom, in them at times is contained a heart of covetousness, of lewdness, of wickedness, and that you have become aware of late. I saw a man that was exposed because of his covetousness, who begged for millions of dollars from the innocent public, and millions of dollars came in. And the man was exposed because of his sinfulness. But then, as I was looking for a program on television, I looked, and there is that face again, smiling, saying, go out on faith and send me $1,000. If you have to borrow the money, send it out. So, no great thing. If those who are in prominent places, those who have the highest reputation in the eyes of some, actually in their hearts, known by God, and in this case, even known by men and women who do not profess Christ as Savior, known to be a charlatan, still, we should not expect it any great thing to discover a Judas among the apostles. The Lord Jesus said, have I not chosen you the 12, and one of you is a devil? So, the Lord knew all about it. No great thing. And it says, concerning the other ministers that are around, it says, Satan changes himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing if his ministers do the same thing. So we should not be taken by surprise except for this, that one could be so treacherous, so hypocritical, so diabolical. And that is what we have in Judas Iscariot. So think of him now. Think of him who, in his eyes, was willing to sell the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I want you to remember that. Because you say, I would never do it. No. It may be that you've sold out the Lord Jesus for less than 30 pieces of silver. I had to read the three portions, the one in Exodus 21, as well as that in Zechariah 11 and Matthew 27, to show you that it was not an accident, but it was by design the price that was given to Judas by the leaders of Israel. Now, there are times when men behave in a certain way, and it's outside of themselves. At other times, it's by design. And in this case, it was by design. We learn that from reading the prophecy in Zechariah. Let me give you the setting. What God does in the prophetical scriptures is oftentimes to have one of his prophets to give in a parabolic way to act out some prophetical event that is to take place in the future. If you think a little bit, you'll say, yes. You recall when Jeremiah took that pot and called the elders of Israel, explained what was going to happen to Israel, and then he took the pot and cast it down, and it was shattered. God at times calls upon his servants to illustrate prophetically what is going to happen. He says, this is what is going to happen to Israel. In like manner, if you have the courage to read the prophecy of Ezekiel and try to understand it, you will discover that the Lord said, now act out this prophecy. I want you to lie on one side so many days. I want you to lie on the other side so many days. I want you to take food and drink. And so Ezekiel goes through these actions. So at times, there are prophets who not only speak what is going to happen, but God says, act out what is going to happen. And at other times, God's prophets, and please add this to the teaching I've been giving you about prophets, I told you concerning them, about their lives, that their lives in themselves were often prophecies. And I was just mentioning this. The Lord told Isaiah to go into his wife and to beget children. And after he did, the Lord said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs. So here is the prophet, and his very life is a sign. And here is Ezekiel, and the actions through which he goes, they contain prophetical truths. In like manner, Jeremiah. And so, in like manner, Zechariah. It could be that all of this was seen in a vision, but to read it, it seems more probable that Zechariah acted out exactly what God told him to, and in this acting out were contained the elements that Matthew tells us were fulfilled in his prophecy in chapter 11. So many things to tell you about Zechariah 11. I can't tell you about them all, but I will tell you this much. Here is a wonderful shepherd, a prophet, and God willing, we'll learn a little bit more about him tonight, Zechariah, and he ministered to the children of Israel. Now this is in the parabolic form. He is the shepherd, and so he feeds this flock of slaughter, this flock that is destined for slaughter. Why? Because of God knows the inevitability of their rejection of the Messiah. But up unto them, God said, feed this flock of slaughter. And he cared for them. He attended to them. But finally, he said, this is what is going to happen. And he told. And he renounced them. This generation, remember, the Savior says, this generation, Israel shall never, as a nation, be rejected by God. The gifts and promises of God are not repented of, but there are certain generations that are written off by God. In fact, you should be prepared for this. When the Israelites were told to go in and take the promised land, and 10 of the spies said, we cannot go in and take the promised land. In brief, God said, then you are not going in and take the promised land. And so the whole generation from 20 years and above, so Joshua and Caleb were completely cut off. But not the nation, the whole. But that generation was cut off. And so in like manner, here is this group of Jews to whom, in parabolic form, Zechariah has been attending as a shepherd. But finally, there was no response that is pleasing to the heart of God. And the Lord says, I am through with you. And so after all his tending as a shepherd, he goes to them. And he says, now, for all that I have done for you, I want you to give me my wages. And if not, then forbear. He says, you may pay me for what I've done for you, or, if you wish, you may give me nothing. Would the God they have given him nothing? But instead, they said, we're going to give you something. And therefore, with a calculated insult, they said, this is our estimate of all of the attention that you have given to us as a shepherd. We will give you the work of a gourd slave. here are your wages. And so the Lord looks at those wages. And he says to Zechariah, cast them into the temple, to the pot. Now, understand this. There are those who think that there is no God, that if there is a God, he will do no good, he will do no evil, that if there is a God, he does not know what we do, and God is not concerned with what you give him or what you withhold from him. But the Lord is keenly aware and sensitive as to what we give him or do not give him, what we vow or what we refrain from vowing. If we do not promise him anything, God says, that's all right, I will accept that. He said, but once you make a vow, you live up to that vow. I have no pleasure in the vows of fools. And so in like manner, in this case, when the shepherd says, what am I worth? All that I've done for you, what is the worth of my labor I've expended upon you? And they say, by 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord immediately knows the interpretation. That is why I read it to you. The Lord understands what they're saying. And is contemptible. And God says, I refuse to take it. Now, I want you to understand this. There are some who say, oh, God isn't concerned about what I give him. But if you give God something, God doesn't care. Just give him something. God is keenly aware, and God is ever so sensitive of what you give him or what you withhold from him. He was watching that. How would you like for God to watch you if he were a man looking over your shoulder and what you put into the basket as it went by? So often it is an evaluation of what you think of him. You say, well, he's not interested in that. The Lord was there by the treasury, and he was watching what people put in. Don't tell me he's not interested. He was watching. And he saw what the rich people put in. They put in much. And he saw a poor widow that came up and cast in two mites. She cast in Bochel's mites. And the Lord was so deeply impressed, he said, that widow woman has cast in more than all the rest. Remember that. In the book of Malachi, here are the Jews, and they're giving something to God. And God says, I saw that cow that you brought to me. I see that that cow is diseased. I see that that cow has no horns. I see that that cow has no hoofs. He said, I understand what you've given me. And so you give God the leftovers. All the important things in life, you provide for yourself, and then if there's anything left over, you give it to God, you see. Some inferior thing. And you say, it isn't important to God. It is extremely important to God. And he writes it down. And at the same time, he also brings into your life rewards, good or bad, as to what you give him or what you hold back from him. You say, what I hold back from him? The question is asked with the book of Malachi. Will a man rob God? There are certain things that God says, I expect of my children. There's some things he does not tell us in the New Testament. He demanded it in the Old Testament. He said, you shall appear before me 3 times in the year, and you shall not appear before me empty. He said, that's what it is for you. And in the New Testament, he says, I want you guided by my Spirit to give something that is worthy of me. So you remember that. All that you spend and what you give to God, you say, the Lord isn't interested. Oh, yes, he's written it down in a book. When Ananias and Sapphira gave God something, he wasn't interested in what they gave him. He said, what did you hold back? They pretended to give it more than they actually did. And God was aware of that. So remember all of these things about God saying, that a man robbed God. And here is a shepherd. And for all the labor that he's bestowed upon them, they do not send him away empty. They say, here, take 30 pieces of silver. This is what we're giving you for your services. And God said, I understand. And so in like manner, what you give to God for what he has rendered unto you, and we heard read this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. And the psalmist also says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? So Israel said, 30 pieces of silver. Keep that in mind. For this reason, there are some who are wiser bargainers than Judas. They can strike a bargain, and they could appeal Israel to a bankruptcy of the treasury. Why? Because in the Old Testament, even good kings at times, when they heard that an army that was going to destroy them was coming, they went and they took everything out of their treasury. They took everything out of the treasury of the temple. They even went and cut off the gold, the ornamental gold that was in the temple, and they said, take this, that do not come and destroy us. And so their own life was worth everything. But the most precious of lives, the thing, was worth 30 pieces of silver. And I told you that God is sensitive about the things that men think of him. And he said, take these 30 pieces of silver, he said, a goodly price that I was prized at. Did you detect that sarcasm? A goodly price that I was prized at. He said, now you take them and you cast them into the temple to the potter. Now, how enigmatical that is. What does it mean? I told you I cannot go into all the details of explanation. Sometime when I have an hour, God willing, perhaps I shall. But Matthew unravels all that is contained in this prophecy of Zechariah, and he lays it before us in his gospel. And he tells us what it means. Cast it into the temple, yes. And then the priests go and gather it up, and they give it to the buying of a potter's field to bury strangers in. You say, I see, cast it in the temple for the potter. No one could ever have understood that unless Matthew put these things together. But he has put them together for us. And I tell you this, unless you believe that holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit, you will never accept such explanations. But if you do not accept such explanations, then beware, because if Matthew is unable to explain this, how is he able to explain the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? How is he able to explain the fulfillment of this prophecy? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child and shall call his name Emmanuel. Tell me, I wonder if he interpreted that correctly. Some would say no, nor did he interpret Zechariah correctly. But you will discover that Matthew and the author of Hebrews have looked at these Old Testament prophecies and have, by the aid of the Spirit of God, unraveled them and have shown us under inspiration just how they are to be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus gives us the key. He says concerning the prophecy I told you about in past weeks, he says, all of you shall be offended in me this night, because it is written that I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. And the Lord Jesus interpreted that. He said, I am the shepherd. I'm going to be smitten. And he said, you, the sheep of the flock, shall be scattered. The Lord Jesus interpreted that. And in this instance, Matthew, guided into all truth by the Spirit, unravels this enigma in Zechariah chapter 11. What is actually happening? It is this. It is this enactment by Zechariah being a picture of what is going to take place. Not Israel in Zechariah's day, but Israel in Christ's day. And Israel and their regard of their Messiah who has come upon the scene. And Judas Iscariot, who enters in and makes the bargain and sells him for 30 pieces of silver. And the Spirit of God enables Matthew to unravel all of this mysterious prophecy and lay it before us. And now we understand, as in a lesser degree, Israel and their treatment of the prophets in their day before the exile and after the exile, so ultimately the treatment of Israel of their promised Messiah when he comes. So this is the way that you treat Zechariah. So this is the way you treat a greater than Zechariah. And so the treatment that Zechariah acted out in chapter 11 is not acted out, but it is lived out, it is history when the true Messiah comes on the scene. And if the prophets and shepherds and righteous and innocent men that have extended their labors upon Israel were treated the way they were, so the Lord Jesus, who is not exempt from the like treatment, and he said this, he said, I have to go to Jerusalem. It cannot be that a prophet perish outside Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus understood all of those things. And he understood the treatment that Israel was going to give him and the evaluation that Israel placed upon him. And whereas Judas might not have been aware when that bargaining was taking place, but these evil authorities were aware. And Judas, in his greed and covetousness, was willing to accept 30 pieces of silver. Whereas, had he been as cunning a businessman as he was a traitor, he could have held out and demanded the treasures in the temple for this reason. The high priest said, the whole world is gone after him. If we leave him alone, the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. I see. And so this man, if he's left alone, is going to destroy all of the hierarchy of Israel. And yet they're able to talk Judas Iscariot into selling his master for 30 pieces of silver. That is what can happen as to the evaluation of Jesus Christ in a mind that is contorted by sin, that is controlled by sin. Do you know what condition your mind is in right now? Unless you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then your mind is a mind that is unsettled. When the Lord Jesus healed Legion, this is what it says of him. He who had once been demoniacal, it said, when Jesus healed him, he was sitting. He was clothed. He was in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. You say, well, I've been healed by Jesus. Yes. You have the mind that knows that Christ is the Savior. But even after that, the Bible says, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. And if that mind that began to be in you is not continually in you, then Satan can trick you into accepting something of infinite value, trading it for something worth 30 pieces of silver. And then as the authorities would rejoice in the dealings that they had had with Judas, knowing just what was in their hearts, and Judas unsuspecting, and Judas accepting 30 pieces of silver, a paltry sum, and yet he was willing to accept it. So in like manner, think of your life. Think of the value of Christ. The value of Christ is incalculable. And yet, often, we sell him for something of insignificant worth. Let me give you an example. Here is Samson. He is raised up of God to be a judge. And yet, all that he could have done to Israel was traded for a sexual engagement with Delilah. You say, how can that be? In like manner, a good reputation, Christians thinking that you're something more than you are. This is what Ananias and Sapphira did. And they were willing to hold back a little bit of the money. They were willing for that reputation that they thought they would gain, that being generous, liberal Christians like Barnabas, could cost them their lives. And here are you, in your pitiful little life, and God have mercy on me as well. And Satan comes and offers us so many things, and we exchange those trivial, simple gifts that he places before us in exchange for what we could have in Christ. Let me tell you one king that was not always good, that he had spent 100 talents to hire a foreign army to come. And the prophet came to him, and God willing, I will tell you about this in detail sometime. The prophet came to him and he said, you should not hire a foreign army to help you fight the battles of God. And he said, but what about the 100 talents of silver? And the prophet said simply this. He said, God is able to give you much more than this. And the king said, I'll send them home. Thank God for such a man. And yet Satan comes and offers you in your little life something less than 30 pieces of silver. And a prophet comes and tells you about it. And you say, but what about this 30 pieces of silver that I can get? What about this tinsel I can get? And the prophet says, God can give you much more than this. No, I'm going to take what I have now. And you exchange that. And so that is your evaluation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at Judas and say, how could you do such a thing? I say that you have sold out the Lord Jesus for less than 30 pieces of silver. Look at the actions in your life day by day, the compromises, the sins, and say, have I even gained 30 pieces of silver for my giving up the fellowship, the rewards that I could have by faithfulness to the Lord Jesus? The Apostle Paul says, why, the things of this present age, the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But Lord, I'll take the glory now, and I will forego the glory in the coming day. But I want you to understand that there are some who do not sell our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He tells of everything that was his as an Orthodox Jew. And having said that, he tells of all his qualifications, all the glories that are his. And he says, how be it? He says, the things that were gained to me had I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but the righteousness which comes from God by faith in Christ. And so here is one that has altered the world. And Paul says, it is done. Give me Jesus Christ. And in like manner, this Peter that we so often criticize for denying the Lord, when the Savior saw his disciples leaving him, he said to the 12, he said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we have believed and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so when you're thinking about Peter denying the Lord, think about Peter also confessing the Lord. And so Israel, they said, yes, the services of Jesus the Messiah, they're worth to us 30 pieces of silver. The Lord says, a goodly price. And when Judas tried to come and undo what he had done, he cast those pieces of silver in the temple. He came and he said, I betrayed innocent blood. I sinned. Now, what is a priest? You can go to a Roman Catholic priest, and if you say, I have sinned, that Roman Catholic priest will do what he thinks can be done as to have your sins forgiven. And that's what the priests of Israel were for. When you sin, you bring the appropriate sacrifice, and the priest goes through the ritual, and it says, his sins shall be forgiven him. He shall make atonement for his sins. But now Judas comes to the priests, and he says, I've sinned. And they say to him, what is that to us? See thou to it. So you beware the sins that you commit, and against whom you commit, and all of these friends with whom you commit them. Understand that there is only one who can undo what you have done, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And those that enriched you with 30 pieces of silver, you come to them for sympathy, for sympathy, for rectifying of the mistake that you've made, and they say, see thou to it, and no man can see to the salvation of his own soul, but only Jesus Christ can. And so Judas saw the mistake he had made. But salvation was not repentance. The fault of salvation is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is Judas, who for 30 pieces of silver sees the mistake that he's made, that he cannot see to it. He cannot undo what he has done. And so Israel, their evaluation of Christ, Judas and his evaluation of Christ, and you and your evaluation of Christ. Let's pray. Now, Father, forgive us for so little reverence and evaluation of him who is the fullness of heaven, the one who is able to satisfy thee, our God, to the full, the one who with thee before the world was, have glory. Forgive us, our Father. We are glad that those who have sinned at times will redeem themselves by the devotion they have given to thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Let us, our God, in turn, exemplify the life that they have lived. We thank you for the work of thy Son. His precious blood can cleanse us from all our sins. He is the one who can take us to heaven to be forever with himself and with the Father, and therefore our God. He is worth any sacrifice. So our Lord, thy Son, he is of incalculable worth that our lives so live that the world may know that that is our evaluation of Jesus Christ the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.